listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Live Your Destiny with Michelle Sullivan, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and Happy New Year to everyone listening. I hope everyone had a great holiday and a great new year, and I'm so excited to be here tonight. And here we are in the new year, and I know many of you are making your New Year's resolutions, as am I. And one of the most popular New Year's resolutions for people is losing weight. And, you know, every year people make that resolution, and it's funny because if you've ever been to a gym right in December, it's empty, and then you go in January 1st, and it is packed. And then right around February, March, it starts to fade off, and there's not as many people there that actually stick with it throughout the year. So what is it that causes us to have these resolutions to lose weight, and then every year, the next year, we're wanting that same resolution once again to be losing weight? Why aren't we sticking with it? What's going on? And, you know, I mean, America has become more and more obese through the years, and it's just becoming such a huge problem. More people are dying from obesity than ever before, and even our children now are becoming obese, and it's really such a hot topic, and one that I thought was fitting for tonight on the show, because I know many of you out there are suffering with weight issues and possibly addiction and you know, anorexia, bulimia, or all the different things that go along with having weight issues and the things that make us feel bad about how we feel. And really, when you're feeling bad about your weight and you don't feel good about who you are and you don't have that self-esteem and that confidence, it's really hard to go out and live your destiny and live your dreams and pursue and be the person that you want to be. And so that's why I thought this was such a fitting topic for tonight. And I'm really, really excited about my guest tonight. I am really excited to welcome Dr. Tiffany Wright. She is the LA Skinny Coach. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you very much. Hello, hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. And also, I've got Stephanie Weeks, who just wrote the book, Skinny Girls Don't Diet. Is that right, Stephanie?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Welcome to the show, yes. And I just, both of them had, you know, skinny in their title, and I thought what a great fit this would be to have both of them on the show tonight. I know Stephanie's into wellness, and of course, Dr. Wright, Tiffany has got a lot of experience in the health industry and has coached hundreds of women on how to lose weight. And actually, let's start with you, Tiffany, and go ahead. I mean, because I read on your site you actually lost 100 pounds yourself.
Yes, I did. I lost 100 pounds 15 years ago.
Wow.
I lost it by giving up refined foods, sugar and flour. Of course, 15 years ago, people were losing weight or not losing weight through low-fat means, and now we've found that that really isn't the key.
Right.
But refined foods, you know, fake foods, processed foods, that the research is kind of indicating that that's where, that's why there's such an increase in obesity. That's the cause of heart disease and diabetes and all kinds of elements that we're dealing with, that it's actually about the refined foods.
Right. And it seems like there's just sugar in everything you eat now. I mean, I saw a little post the other day on Facebook, someone posted, and they said, they were talking about GMO foods, of course, because we just don't know. That's another whole issue. But there was actually sugar in the vitamin water. And I thought, now that's just bizarre. Why is there sugar in water?
I can top that. There's sugar in Morton salt.
That's bizarre, too. What's that there for?
There's sugar in 70% of the foods that are sold at the grocery store. And, of course, we're not talking about sugar in a pineapple. We're talking about added sugar in the ingredient list.
Right. But even people who are, and I know, Stephanie, you've had a lot of experience with this. You actually have that website, The Wellness Revolution. Even people who are diabetic have to really watch even fruits that have sugar in them, because that can spike their levels, right?
Were you asking me this, Tiffany?
Either. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I know that I actually went to... I've had some health issues, which, of course, I was on steroids for years, and they make you gain weight with a vengeance. And it's so frustrating to try and lose that weight. And you know, you really start to feel bad about yourself. And one of the things I did was I went to a health institute in San Diego. I know if you've been listening to the show, you've heard about it. But one of the things that really got my attention was that they did cut out all bread, dairy, anything that had sugar in it. We were just basically down to raw food and, you know, vegetables. And that was basically it. Even if you were diabetic or had cancer, you weren't even supposed to eat the fruits, which they did also have there. And so I thought that was really interesting. And I actually did lose weight from it immediately. I started feeling better. I noticed huge differences. And then I also noticed that, you know, a lot of my issues too were emotional, and that stemmed around, you know, we all go for that comfort food. And so it was interesting to me. But I know with Tiffany, with what you're doing too, and cutting the sugars and cutting out processed foods, it's a lot more realistic for people to stick with that than trying to go completely raw.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's nearly impossible for the average American to go completely raw. I mean, if you get out of LA and look at middle America, which 70% of my clients are not in Los Angeles, some of them aren't, don't even have access to lettuce beyond iceberg.
Wow.
So, you know, organic, forget about it. They don't have any of those options. So, you know, many people don't even know what raw means.
Right.
So you really have to think about who your audience is and, you know, what's viable. Even any kind of diet, even for any mother who has to deal with children or work and cooking and having a family, you know, it's going to have to be sustainable for the person doing it.
Right, right. And actually, Stephanie, that's what you did. You have created this cookbook, the Skinny Girls Don't Diet cookbook, which helps families to find ways to cook healthy meals, right? Can you tell us a little bit about
that? Yeah, correct. It's called Skinny Girls Don't Diet, Living Well is a Lifestyle, and it's 150 recipes that are quick and easy for families. It also has the healing properties of food in the forward section of the book. So it's a way that families can sit down and discuss, you know, what are the healing properties in broccoli or in strawberries, and you can really make meal times an educational time. So the whole book is based around eating, you know, whole, nutritious, good-for-you foods, cutting out the refined foods. And a big thing with when you guys were talking about the refined and denatured, you know, processed foods that we're all eating, is that those foods don't have the enzymes in them that we need to break down those substances like raw foods or fresh foods do. So a big thing that people are also missing are enzymes to break down that food, and that's why a lot of people have, you know, 10, 20 pounds of be quick plaque in their gut that needs to be cleansed out. And so cleansing is really big. We go over that in the book. It's just chock full of lots of information.
Right. No, it looks really great, and I appreciate you writing it because I know there's a lot of people who have that. I mean, even I have a 7-year-old son, and even just finding healthy foods for a kid to eat is difficult. And then you see why these kids... Of course, you know, nowadays, too, kids are sitting in front of their computers, sitting in front of the TVs. They're not getting out and exercising enough, and then they're gaining weight, and then the food that they are eating is just so unhealthy, and you see more kids with diabetes these days, and I'm hearing about people having heart attacks, you know, younger and younger. I mean, it's just crazy, and I think I heard, and I don't know, you guys can tell me if you've heard this, but that now they're saying that we, our children now, will not outlive their parents. And that's pretty...
I heard that. Yes. It's really sad, huh?
It's scary.
We really need to be an example, you know, for our children and for other children if we don't have children. And it's almost sad that, you know, my background is a medical professional, and I took one nutrition class in 6 years. And that was really eye-opening to me because working in the medical field, I kept treating all of these people with illnesses. And, you know, I felt like I was putting Band-Aids over what was going on instead of getting to the root cause. So I actually got out of the medical field and decided to start treating the root cause and getting into nutrition and helping people that way so that they could heal themselves.
Right. And it's so true because people, when they get sick, they don't really think, I'm sick or I'm overweight because of my food necessarily, or, you know, if I have heart disease, the food has nothing to do with it. I just need to take a drug to get better or, you know, have surgery or whatever. And it's just, I mean, it just seems so simple. And yet trying to find a diet that works to help you to be fit and well is not always an easy task. And I know, Dr. Wright, you have created an initiative, right? Can you talk a little bit about that with the, let me see here, the Sugar-Free
Initiative?
Yeah,
the Sugar-Free Initiative is a coalition of medical professionals, experts in food advocacy and the like. And basically, I'm a firm believer in the people that, you know, are part of this program or this site. It are also believers that the food industry is, you know, legally a culprit in poisoning the food supply. And
yes.
So even when we talk about, yes, you should have your vegetables, you should have broccoli or cauliflower for dinner, the cauliflower and the broccoli, you know, aren't even the type of vegetable that it used to be, you know, whether it be GMO or non-organic. And when you start getting into packaged foods, there's something called the Golden Triangle, and food researchers actually work at producing a food that has the perfect mixture of fat, sugar, and salt so that the human body, the human mind, cannot say no to it. So it's literally designed, the food is designed to be addictive.
Wow.
And our brains and our bodies just aren't, they don't have the evolutionary capacity to say no to these foods. So it's it is not a matter of just putting the fork down or just making the right choices, because what is available to us is literally non-edible in many cases, and certainly not nutritious or in any way will help us heal or get better.
Mm-hmm. So what do you have people do? I mean, it's how do you live a normal life without, you know, especially if you go out or you're working and you go out to lunch. I mean, how do you survive in that and still, you know, what do you recommend that people do?
Well, my eating plan, my program is not the Sugar-Free Initiative. That's a side thing that I do, but the Skinny Coach. I'm the Skinny Coach of Skinny Girl site. If you look that up, that's the Elemental You program. And the Skinny Girl diet is basically sugar and flour free. When you remove refined foods from your diet, you're removing a good 70% of these kinds of foods. You know, we can talk in addition to that to try to stay away from GMOs and try to stay, you know, organic when possible. But when you eliminate refined foods, you're eliminating it all, almost all of it. And when your body processes these foods, it taxes your pancreas, which releases your insulin level, your insulin. So it's all about balancing your hormones. And people, as they get older, just like your hair starts to gray and your eyes start to go, your pancreas stops being able to process these foods, and it's happening younger and younger because the liver and the pancreas are being overtaxed. So the only solution, and I know it's not popular to say there's only one solution, but and I'm not saying my plan is the only solution, but the only solution to this is to balance those hormones, to balance those blood sugars. And as long as people are eating these refined foods, it's not a possible endeavor.
Right.
I believe in complete abstinence, because meaning never eating sugar and flour. I haven't had it in 15 years, and none of my skinny girls eat it ever. It's an abstinence-based program because certain people get to a point that they cannot moderate. You know, if they could moderate, they could read a book and say, okay, I need to cut back here or eat this way. And if they could do it, they would have done it a long time ago. They wouldn't be 50 pounds overweight. They wouldn't have diabetes. They could do it on their own. They could do it by information. So people get to a point that they say, I cannot moderate.
Right.
And for those people, abstinence is the only solution. And so I work with my girls on a daily basis to kind of rewire their brain, you know, develop new neural connections that say, I don't eat this. I'm a skinny girl. I don't eat this. I eat healthy. I choose size 10 instead of pizza.
Right.
And it's a long process. It's not something you can just read and do.
No.
If it was as simple as reading and doing, we wouldn't have 66% obesity rate in America. Because
right.
There's plenty of books to read.
Right. You know, and that it's interesting, too, because I know when I went to the Institute, we did all raw. And that's not easy to do. But I did find some raw food at restaurants. And there was this one in L.A., actually. Of course, probably L.A. has more raw food restaurants than most places in the country. But So I feel very fortunate at that. But some of the raw food, like I had a raw food pizza, and it's made out of things that are not flour, not the sugar, you know, and it's really good. So, I mean, there are lots of healthy alternatives to sugar and flour, as you're saying, and to these processed foods. And I know that Stephanie puts a lot of those in her book that help people to make that shift and actually live. And I know one suggestion I had heard, too, was, you know, stay on the outside perimeter of the grocery store because most of everything in the middle is processed, right?
Yeah. Right.
It just makes it hard for shopping, for sure. So,
well, I think Tiffany made a really good point in talking about changing your mindset, because it's not about depriving yourself. It's about making, you know, a decision in your mind that you're going to, you know, start eating better foods and focus on what you can have and on what you can't have. So I think that's a really good point. You really have to focus on changing people's thought processes.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I've been reading a lot of Wayne Dyer lately. And one of the things he says, and this is in his Being in Balance book, nine principles for creating habits to match your desires. And he says, your addictions tell you you'll never get enough of what you don't want. And I thought that was really interesting. When I first read it, I thought, what does that mean? But he says the truth of the universe is that we live in an energy system that operates on the law of attraction. And that is that we become what we think about all day long. And so if we think about what we hate, in this case, our weight, then that is what we are offering as to our desires. And that is, in fact, what will then attract to our life. And I really feel that this is true. It's funny because when I was a little girl, I was always in shape. I was fit. I did a lot of exercise. I mean, I never even thought about weight. It, you know, not like the girls today who really, you know, these kids are just inundated with, you know, images of skinny and you have to do this and that and everything else. But one of the things was I was about, I don't know, 11 or 12, and I went back for a second helping at a family dinner that we had at the beach. I went back for a second helping of spaghetti. It was just so good to me that night, and I was hungry, and I ate some extra spaghetti, and someone there said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're eating all that, you know, what an oinker you are. And then suddenly my nickname was Oink. Now here's a person that I was young and fit and healthy and, you know, never had a weight problem, and suddenly I'm thinking, gosh, am I fat? And then you start thinking about it more and more, you know, am I fat? You know, do I have a problem? Then you're looking at it and you're focusing on it. And oh my God. And then you start reading all those diet books that, you know, Dr. Tiffany, that you're speaking about, and you get obsessed with it. And then that thing that you're obsessed with then becomes exactly what you attract to your life. And then you find yourself doing things that, and then feeling bad about yourself. And then you look and you reach for those comfort foods, which are definitely the sugar foods, that then create this vicious cycle of, you know, you eat, you start to eat to live, and rather than eat to live, you're living to eat. You know, you're planning your next meal. Where are we going to go out to eat? And I can't wait to eat that. And I can't wait to go to that party with my friends. And it becomes this cycle that is so hard to get out of. And I know so many people are in that cycle of eating to live and not necessarily just living to eat. Or I'm sorry, I'm flipping it around. Living to eat instead of eating just to live. And it's a vicious cycle, and one that I myself was in. Especially after I broke my back and was on steroids, which all add to your weight gain, of course. And I think, you know, I see people who are overweight, and I can just see it in their eyes, the pain that they're in, you know, the pain of feeling bad about themselves. And I think addressing those issues too, you know, it's not just a physical, but it's a mental game of really addressing how we're feeling inside, you know, so that we can feel worthy again. And then, you know, putting our lives into a plan, like, you know, like you discussed, Tiffany, you know, having a plan of something that we're going to do so we gain that control. What do you guys think about that? Dr. Wright, what do you think?
Well, I mean, you said a lot. I think that it's absolutely the case. Everything you said is true, and it is a cycle, and it can be very debilitating when you can't control what you put in your mouth. It's psychically devastating. I think that many a heavy person has written many a plan for their morning new diet and are unable to sustain it. And I think it's a combination of being physically addicted to a food and also not being able to deal with the stressors and the habits and the associations that come with that food.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very, in my experience, it's a very long and painstaking process, a daily process, to change those associations and those habits, to eat properly long enough and do enough mentoring and talking and thinking about food differently until your brain actually changes, until you actually see the food differently. And then, as you do that, as you're successful, as you break this addiction, then you start feeling better about yourself. You start looking better. You start feeling better. You start feeling in control because you are in control.
Right.
Because you are exhibiting control. And so then the feeling better happens. I'm certain, as is the case with you, it can go in the other order as well. But from my experience, it goes in first fix the problem, then you start feeling better.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's interesting because one of my first shows here, I had on Dr. Larry Smith, and he actually opened up a rehab center. And, you know, we've had long discussions about that and about happiness and about finding that inner peace and that inner happiness. And, you know, so often we're like, if I could just have more money, then I would be happy. If I could just get that house, I would be happy. If I just had that job, I'd be happy. Or if I could just lose the weight, then I would be happy. And there's that whole theory of, you know, you really have to do the inside work, the work on the mental and emotional work of the things that drive you, not just the food, as you're talking about, which is a huge part of it, the chemicals that we're being fed and manipulated even into being addicted to these problems, to the food. But the problem is that we are addicted. And that addiction, I mean, it comes in many forms, not just the chemical addiction, but also the emotional addiction. And with addictions, you know, we have relapses. And even the best of us have those relapses. And it's something, like you said, with your coaching, you have not just the food support, but you have the emotional and, you know, that support of being there to help people. And I think that's such a big part of it. And for me, like Stephanie, I love what you've done with your book, because it's like, I need that support of, what am I going to eat tonight? You know, what am I going to fix for my family that's healthy, that's not going to make us, you know, gain weight, but that's going to give us the nutrition that we need. And so people are always looking for ideas. And that's why I love what you're doing with the book, because people need that. They need to see it. They need to know, what are some things that I can do? What are some alternatives?
And the thing is you can eat a lot of food. I mean, you know, the good food. So it's not like you're depriving yourself where you're going to be hungry. I always tell people to take cues from their body, because we do eat at habit. You know, we eat at 8 in the morning for breakfast. We eat at noon for lunch. But that doesn't mean that we're necessarily hungry at those times. It's just a habit.
It's a habit.
So, you know, take cues from your body. Eat when you're actually hungry. And a lot of the times people believe that they're hungry when they're actually dehydrated.
Right.
So make sure, I always tell people, you know, if you're feeling hungry often, make sure that you're drinking at least half your body weight in ounces of water every day. And if you are hungry, drink a glass of water. And if you're still hungry 20 minutes later, go ahead and have a healthy snack. Dehydration is a huge issue. I really don't think enough people are drinking the amount of water that they need to be drinking every day.
Right. Oh, no, that's absolutely true. And there's that book. What is it? Your Body's Many Cries for Water, I think, is one of them that talks about just that, that a lot of even disease is caused by dehydration. And if we could just drink more and drink half our body weight in water. I know when I was at the Institute, we actually drank half our body weight in water, but 32 ounces of that was in probiotic water. So it had I can't remember the name of it now, but because we are, our gut is definitely being depleted and stripped of all of the good bacteria that helps us to digest better, which of course then also, and I guess Dr. Wright, that's actually affected too by the flour and the sugar, right? What's going on with the enzymes? Tiffany, are you still there? Maybe we lost. Let me see if we still have her here on the phone. I think we may have lost Tiffany. I'll have to see if she calls back in.
Well, another thing with water is a great way to detoxify your body and cleanse your body. So if you are overweight and you're trying to shed that fat, you definitely need water to help your body push those toxins out. So that's another great reason to, you know, start drinking water.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you do flush so much more out of your system when you're drinking your water. It's just so hard. I saw my great-grandmother. She was one of the healthiest people, and she would carry water around with her all the time. But then later, as she got older, she thought that it would make her go to the bathroom more, and so she stopped drinking it as much, and then she got dehydrated, which then led her to be sick and then ended up in the hospital. Because, you know, that dehydration causes havoc with your intestinal tract and with, you know, having good bowel function.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
So tell me more
about
your book.
That's a whole different topic there.
That certainly is. I know, but it's all connected, you know? I mean, everything.
It all goes together, yeah.
It totally does. I mean, and there's definitely certain foods that are better for your digestion and certain foods that are different, you know, better for different things. So tell me more about your book and what you have in there, because I know you mentioned a little bit about some of the, talking about some of the different foods and the properties of them.
Yeah, part of the book is Healing Properties of Food. So we just run down A to Z, all of the healthy foods from, you know, apples, kale, and so on, and it lists the healing properties of those foods. Also, I have the option when you buy the book to join our 30-day wellness challenge. And the 30-day wellness challenge is something that's all-encompassing. We want to make sure that we're healing our minds and our bodies. So during the 30-day challenge, you know, every day you'll get an email with a positive affirmation, a point of exercise. So you get up there and, you know, get out there and get some exercise. It comes with recipes, a recipe for that day. It also comes with a knowledge point. So, you know, one day it might be the difference between GMO foods and organic foods, or another day would be, you know, fluoride in your water. So we try to make it very comprehensive and easy. So it's just a one-pager every day that you can go through and start making simple changes that day.
Right.
That's part of it. Another thing that we talk about is, you know, do I need to supplement my diet? As Tiffany was saying, you know, our food is not what it was at one time. I think the stat is one peach in the 1950s. You'd have to eat like 30 some peaches these days. You know, like, we're not getting the nutrition that we need. So is supplementation a valid issue? And everyone needs to kind of take all of this in stride. Not everybody's on the same page. Not everybody will go as fast on this journey, and that's totally fine. So we just want to be an encouraging source. And with our wellness revolution, we go ahead and make sure that everybody is going at their own pace.
Right. And that is the thing, is this really adopting one or two things, at least if you want to like make some changes in your life, adopting one or two habits that'll make a big difference for you. I mean, even just adding in doing half your body weight in water every day will make a huge difference in how you feel and in dropping some weight initially, especially. But what are some other tips that you would give people to lose some weight and to get on a good path as far as, you know, changing their habits and their lifestyle?
I think a big thing that people overlook is portion control. You know, we run around and we grab what's convenient, and we don't look at the back of the package to see, you know, is this something that I should be eating? You know, just because I'm in a hurry, it doesn't mean that that's the best option. So I would say learn how to read the back of a package. And I always try to stick to foods that have one ingredient, you know, like apple, carrot, meat. But that's not always possible these days. So just, you know, make sure that you're avoiding things like high fructose corn syrup or MSG or sucralose or hydrogenated oils and aspartame, those kind of things. And you can find a lot on the back of a package that you wouldn't realize is actually in the product.
Right. You know, it's interesting too, because when I was in college, I started getting heart flutters, And I thought I was having a heart attack or something, and I went to the emergency room, and they said, no, your heart's fine. We see it fluttering. We have no idea what's going on. And then I went to a heart specialist, and they gave me one of those little things to wear for 24 hours to actually monitor and follow my heart and how it was beating. And I did that, and then they came back, and they said, no, everything's fine. I said, but did you see the flutters? And they said, yeah, we could see it. We don't know what's causing it, but, you know, you're okay. And I'm like, well, this is not something I want to live with, having my heart flutter and flip like that. I mean, it drives you nuts. And at that time,
better than you, I'm okay.
Right. And my great-grandmother, actually, who was very into health, she called me and she says, you know, I was thinking about your heart thing, and have you been drinking or eating anything with aspartame in it? And I'm like, I don't know. What is that? And as I'd never heard of it at that point. And so she says, do you drink any diet sodas? And I said, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm in college. I'm up all night. I'm drinking sodas constantly and Crystal Light iced tea, you know. And she says, well, both of those have aspartame in them. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. So, I mean, I immediately stopped drinking soda that day. And do you know, my heart flutters went away. And even when, and then you get into the thing where, then when my heart would flutter, I'd say, okay, what did I eat that had something in it that was making my heart flutter? And every time I could trace it back, even gum, I had to stop eating because almost every gum has aspartame in it or something bad.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy, but people are getting aspartame poisoning, and it does affect them. And that's, you know, like what Dr. Wright was saying, I mean, there's so many the different types of sugars that are hidden in our foods that are making us sick and definitely making us overweight and making us addicted to those foods so that we eat more, which means we're buying more, so we're feeding the industry. It's a crazy thing that we are we don't even realize, and then we beat ourselves up because we feel bad that we made bad choices when really it's more about the food and the chemicals in them that we're being made to be addicted to.
And the thing I think we really need to work on, like an action, would be making the good food more available. I mean, making it less expensive. Because the reason that people eat all of these refined and denatured foods is because they're cheaper, they're fast, you know. We need to have a revolution where we make the healthy stuff the better option and what's desirable, you know, instead of the Doritos. You know, we have kale chips. And, you know, my major downfall is chips. You know, I love the crunchy, salty whole scene. But, you know, if you can replace it with something that is just as good, but actually, you know, it's actually better, then it doesn't feel like you're being deprived of anything.
Right.
So I think that's something that we really need to stress.
Right. You know, we've actually done that where you've taken a sweet potato and kind of sliced it and put it in the oven and made some, like, sweet potato chips. And it's really good. And when I was at the Institute, they actually had dehydrators. And I'd never heard of a dehydrator before. And if you haven't, you can find them at a lot of different stores. I mean, even, Wayne's and Sonoma had them. And you can take your food and dehydrate it. And we took onions and put some tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, cinnamon, a lot of good food into the onions and made it like a little paste. Put them all over the onions, put them on the dehydrator, and they came out and they tasted it. They were the best little, like, onion snacks.
They are so delicious.
Oh, it's so good. And you don't miss the bad stuff. And you actually feel fulfilled, too. You know, I mean, you could eat a whole bag of chips and still be hungry. And then, but you eat one of these, and you eat a couple, and you're like, okay, I feel good.
Yeah, and you have that, going back to the energy, when you're eating that kind of stuff, you're getting all of that good live energy. And then, you know, that's what exudes out, you know, out of your being is that energy. Whereas if you're eating the, you know, the nasty chips, then you're, you know, lethargic and you don't have the energy that you would have if you had the sweet potato chips.
That's right. And the thing is, our moods, I think we have mood swings from the food that we eat. It's interesting. My son, who's 7, if he, we go somewhere and he eats something, like, I can tell immediately if there's been something in that food that was not good for him, because he will just get crazy. And he knows it too.
Yeah.
He doesn't even want those foods. I mean, he tries to avoid anything like that because he knows how it makes him feel. Like, it's just like, I don't know if it's an allergy or just the chemical itself is just, whatever it is, it's just not agreeing with him. And it does change, you know, there's those chemical balances in the brain. And like Tiffany was talking about with the hormone balances, and, you know, you're throwing off your hormone with the insulin, and There's so much that goes on that we can't even think about when we're eating, but it does make a huge difference in how we feel and how we feel about ourselves and what we do.
And we don't stop to think about what hormones are in our milk or in our meat. You know, simple decisions, you know, do I pick organic or do I pick conventionally grown or GMO? That makes a big difference because now they're doing studies where, you know, they're finding that the testosterone levels are lowering and the estrogen levels are actually higher. And that's a real problem if you're a man, you know?
Right. No, absolutely. And it's if you think about what they're feeding these, if you're not getting organic, and I mean, I try and get everything organic, and I heard something at the Institute. They talked about, like, cucumbers, for instance. They'll take cucumbers, and they're very absorbent, so they'll put them in the fields and the farms before they replant to pull out any toxins in the farms. Now, imagine that you're eating a non-organic cucumber. What kind of toxins were in that cucumber that, you know, that pesticides or whatever else that it picked up while it was being grown? So for me, like,
yeah, you have to be really careful with the pesticides. And what happens is your body fat actually encapsulates the toxins. And so when your body's holding on to fat, it's actually holding on to the toxins. So if you can get your body, if you can alkalize your body and get rid of those toxins, you'll automatically start shedding fat.
Right. And so, that's true. The alkaline water is a big topic now, too. I've seen more and more people turning to alkaline water. Although you have to be careful, though, too, because I think even with alkaline water or alkaline anything, like alkaline coffee, there's everything. You have to actually have some acidity in your body for the digestion of certain foods, and certain parts of your body need acidity more than others. I mean, it's interesting. You do need that balance.
Yeah, and you can definitely overdo it. A simple thing that I do, I mean, this is really basic. Add lemon juice to your water in the morning.
Yes.
You know, that will help you get alkaline. It flushes out toxins. It helps ease hunger and, you know, it helps you lose weight. And it also helps regulate your hormones. I mean, what can be simpler than adding a little bit of lemon to your water?
Right. Now, and most people think, no, that can't be right lemons are acidic, aren't they? But when they go in the water, they make it alkaline. It's interesting. So, yeah, that's a great tip,
too. Yeah, and it's such a simple thing that we can all do, you know?
Right.
We could start that tonight.
Well, and there's no, you know, when you're eating well, you feel better. And when you feel better, you do more. You can do more. You can exercise more. You find that you have a little skip in your step, and you're able to do more, too. And I know with Tiffany, with what she's doing is cutting out the sugar and the flour. You know, it's interesting, too, that you bring that up because, I mean, a lot of these toxins are stored in our fat. So when you start losing some of this fat, I mean, the water becomes so important because you are going to detox some of these chemicals and things that are in your body that you don't even realize have been stored in your fat for years and in your gut.
And that's a point where a lot of people end up, you know, they give up. They're like, man, I'm not feeling well. You know, like, I've got all this stuff going on. I'm congested or whatever. That's the point you want to keep going, you know, just, you know, realize that your body's detoxing, drink more water, you know, add some enzymes to your diet, and, you know, that's where you're making progress. So if anybody out there is at that point, just keep going.
Right. No, it's so important. And it is hard to stay focused when you feel so bad. And I mean, you and I know, like, if you've taken nutrients, it is so important to supplement your food because our soil's depleted. And I mean, everything's depleted these days. We're not getting what we used to. And so you have to supplement. But a lot of times supplements out there, if they're not food supplements, you know, then your body, it's chemicals going into your body again. And so, but even with the food, you know, when you're putting proper food in your body's going to start releasing the bad stuff. And it might make you feel bad for a minute. You know, you might detox a little bit, and you have to be ready for that and know that that's a good sign.
Yeah, and it's really important that when people get on a plan, if they're working with a coach, that the coach tells them, you know, these things. You know, you are going to detox and, you know, prepares them for those sorts of issues that may arise.
Right. I mean, I watched The Biggest Loser last night, which is funny because my son and I were talking about it. He's like, Mommy, I just don't understand. Why do they call it The Biggest Loser? That just does such an awful name. And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it should be like The Biggest Winner.
Yeah, why can't it be? Exactly. Why can't it be The Littlest Winner? No. I mean, it's such a play on words. I understand it. But anyways, I mean, these people, they're just more and more obese. I mean, the one guy was like 444 pounds. It's like, oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, where do you begin when you're that heavy? And it's so frustrating and hard. But anyways, they all started exercising. And there was one guy that was just throwing up the whole time. And, you know, that would not be attractive for most people to say, I'm going to go to the gym and throw up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So I think,
yeah, when you're not feeling well, it makes it difficult to keep going, but definitely keep pushing forward.
Right. I think that's why I think small changes can make the biggest differences for people. And, you know, adopting one important thing or two important things, like you said, you know, drinking more water, drinking half your body weight in water. That's such a great tip. Most people I know do not. And it's hard. I mean, unless you're keeping track of it, too, you know, you forget how much water have I had today? And then, you know, and that doesn't mean like the tea or the soda you drank. I mean, that's not counting for water. You need that in addition, too. And I think I heard, you know, for every cup of coffee someone drinks, it's like depleting. You need like 17 cups of water to like just to, I mean, this is just a statistic I heard. I don't know if it's right, but just to like balance the body from the acidity from that cup of coffee. So I mean, coffee. I mean, think about Starbucks.
Yeah, so, and so it doesn't leach the calcium out of your bones. You know, that's another issue that happens if you're drinking a lot of caffeine in coffee.
Right. No, absolutely. So tell me again, what is your website for everyone listening?
My website is Our Wellness Revolution. And on there you'll find my book, Skinny Girls Don't Diet.
So that's also a website, skinnygirlsdon'tdiet.what?
Skinnygirlsdon'tdiet.com.
.com. Okay, good. And that's Our, O-U-R, right? Our Wellness Revolution?
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure. And then Tiffany's site, Dr. Tiffany's site, is she has the sugarfreeinitiative.org. And then she also has the LA skinnycoach.com, I believe. But you can find her on Facebook as well. So, and then, of course, my website is the deadlinetodestiny.com, and you can find me on Facebook under Live Your Destiny with Michelle Sullivan. So let's just give a couple closing thoughts, Stephanie, and just about, you know, what you would recommend to people, you know, who are wanting to lose weight this year, who are wanting to get out there and really change their lives and live their destinies. What would you recommend for them to do?
I would say that we're all on a journey, and don't compare yourself to someone else. Make positive steps that benefit you each day, and focus on personal development and the small things that you can do each day, like integrating more water into your diet. I'd say join our free 30-day wellness challenge, which is at ourwellnessrevolution.com, and it'll give you a snippet every day that you can go ahead and start implementing, and that's a great start for you.
Now, what is the 30-day challenge that you do?
The what?
What was the 30-day challenge that you do?
On the free 30-day challenge, we send you out an email every day, with a positive affirmation, a recipe, an exercise program, and a bit of knowledge on a different topic each day.
Okay, great. That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for that. And just so you guys know, Tiffany got dropped from the call, and she couldn't get back on, so she apologizes. And I apologize, too. I really was very thankful she got to be on the call. We'll have to have her on again. And her website is www.skinnycoach.com. She's LA's skinny coach, and I appreciate her point of view with the chemicals and the foods and the sugar, especially sugar. And sugarfreeinitiative.org is her other thing that she's doing, her initiative, which I think is awesome. But I think we all need to really be cognizant of the fact that, you know, sugar is not good, and we all know that. But putting it on our bodies and thinking that we're going to be able to lose weight by doing that is just not going to happen. And I think, too, that really you have to do that emotional work, too. I feel that more than anything. I mean, when I was at the Institute, I was at the Healing Institute. It's OHI. It's the Optimum Health Institute in San Diego. Oh my gosh, if anybody wants to go and have their life completely changed, please go, because it's one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had. And one of the things that really hit me was, I mean, we ate all raw vegetables, we had juicing, that kind of thing, but and we had meditation and really emotional work. And the thing that hit me, though, is I started losing weight right away. We did things like wheatgrass too, wheatgrass juicing, which if you've never looked into that, you should. But what hit me was that I was losing weight, but then when I started addressing those emotional issues, you know, and realizing that I wasn't feeling worthy, and that I hadn't for a long time, maybe since I was called a wink, you know, like, I mean, you don't know what triggers someone to feel bad about who they are. And sometimes they don't even know what it is. But you have to look back and say, what, you know, how am I really feeling? And when you can feel and love yourself more, you know, it's like instead of focusing on I need to lose weight, focus on I need to get in shape, but I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be healthy. I am healthy. I am fit. You know, there's something just saying I am instead of saying, gosh, I'm so fat. Gosh, I'm so overweight. Gosh, I need to do this. It's like Wayne Dyer was saying, you can never get enough of what you don't want. And if you keep focusing on what you don't want, which is the weight, then you're going to somehow attract that to yourself. And I don't know how it all works. I just know that it does. And so when you can shift that emotional and inner, do that, like Stephanie was saying, do that inner work, that personal growth, and love yourself more and find ways to love who you are and know that your weight has nothing to do with it, then it's a lot easier to step into doing some sort of weight loss program that will help you to transform your life. And in feeling more worthy and loving yourself and being who you're meant to be, it just, it makes it a lot easier to put your life in balance in every way. And then, of course, live your destiny, which is really the point of the show, which I just want everybody out there to this year to step into who you're meant to be, because, you know, you just can't wait. This, I've heard of a couple people just this past week who have passed away unexpectedly. And, you know, of course, people have heart attacks all the time or strokes or get cancer and die, and it's so sad. And yet you think, but they didn't live their life the way they were supposed to. They had so much more living to do. And the food and taking charge of your weight now and feeling better about yourself is really important to living your destiny and living out your dreams and really pursuing those dreams. Wouldn't you say, Stephanie?
Well said. I would say that was very well said.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you, Stephanie, for being on the show tonight. Again, Stephanie Weeks. And thank you, Dr. Tiffany Wright, for being on the show, the LA Skinny Coach. I really appreciate you both taking the time out. I'm sorry we lost Dr. Tiffany Wright. But we'll have her on again. And thanks, everyone, for listening. I really appreciate all of you taking the time to listen. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Everyone, take care. Happy New Year and happy, getting fit. Take care. Bye-bye, Stephanie. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
You're listening to Live Your Destiny with Michelle Sullivan, right here on LA Talk Radio.